It's supposed to be a mutually beneficial employment scheme, but on last night's edition of the ABC's 7:30, Pacific Islanders on the seasonal worker program described their paychecks being severely docked, with some getting only $60 a week in take-home pay after deductions. They were promised around 11 times that amount. Clint Jasper has more.
At the start of this month, the federal government announced it would expand the seasonal worker program to allow participants to work in a wider range of agricultural sectors. Last night on 7:30, Fijian workers on the scheme told of their exploitation. They were promised around $657 a week in take-home pay, but they were receiving only around $60, or close to $10 a day, after their labour hire company took money out for rent, transport and food. Three Fijian women described being charged $120 each to share a caravan in Shepparton.
Look, it's really, really disappointing. For us, we require good staff. Staff are a huge asset. Good staff are a huge asset for any business. And so to see this sort of negative publicity portrayed, unfortunately, it can spread over, and those people who are doing the right thing by their staff can still be impacted by this. It's going to not make people want to come to Australia. We need staff to harvest our horticultural crops, and so to see this sort of thing happening, it's really disappointing.
The chairman of Summer Fruit Australia, Andrew Findlay, is a Queensland-based stone fruit grower who says more education for all seasonal labour would help reduce exploitation.
My thoughts would be that somewhere where they come through their visa programs, that there is included in that as they come some educational component, something in their own language, that they can be aware of the sort of situations they can find themselves in that can lead to exploitation, or what their genuine expectations can be if they do an honest day's work, what an honest day's pay is going to be.
University of Adelaide senior law lecturer Joanna Howes is an expert on seasonal work and migration law. She says the practice of labour hire companies recruiting workers, packaging them up and on-selling them needs to be stopped.
The type of expose that was shown on the 7:30 report last night showed that the contractor was making extraordinary unlawful deductions for things like accommodation, transport and food at a rate that was not commensurate to the market value of those services. The key issue here is not about expansion of the program, because I think there is a legitimate case to say that growers are constantly attesting to labour shortage, and that's something that we need to take very seriously in horticulture and perhaps in other industries. But we do also need to recognise that if we expand this program, we are doing so by bringing in a very vulnerable group of workers who most likely are going to be organised through contractors. And there needs to be systemic regulation of labour hires, firms and contractors, to make sure that they are legally compliant.
Joanna Howes says there are similarities shared with all vulnerable workers.
So there's some fundamental issues that translate across the backpacker program and across the seasonal workers program, and these are characteristics to do with the kind of workers that are recruited. They're usually from non-English speaking backgrounds, they're performing low-skilled work, they're performing this work in remote geographical locations. So these particular attributes of the workers involved tend to make them vulnerable, regardless of whether they're on the backpacker visa or whether they're on the seasonal workers program visa.
The Fair Work Ombudsman is investigating the complaints made in last night's 7:30 program. Federal Minister for Employment Michaelia Cash recently told ABC Rural that the government would not tolerate exploitation of seasonal workers. The minister is yet to respond to these particular claims.
Clint Jasper reporting.